life is frustrating. Sometimes life just continues to hammer you down. But I'm thinking, I mean, I'm just guessing today, that we all know that a heaven exists, but we don't look forward to it with a lot of anticipation. We don't. Not like the first church, not like the early followers of Jesus Christ. They looked forward to heaven with a great anticipation. I mean, they talked about it. They dreamed about it. They longed for heaven to come. In fact, one of the early followers of Jesus, the Apostle Paul, listen to the words he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this, "Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Do you notice that? We fix our eyes on the unseen. I mean, the early followers of Jesus would often talk like this. I mean, this was just part of their everyday language. They longed for heaven. They looked forward to heaven. They would say things like, "Come, Jesus, quickly. Come, quickly, Jesus." It was Paul who said, "To die is gain. To die is gain." In one of the darkest periods of American history, African-American slaves, when they had nothing to look forward to, would sing songs about heaven. Here's a song you may know. "Swing low, sweet chariot. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home." They longed for heaven. And here's what I'm guessing. Here's what I think. I think many times we know that heaven is out there, but we don't long, we don't anticipate heaven. I mean, it beats the alternative, doesn't it? But we don't long for heaven like those early followers who were persecuted or who had difficulties in life. I mean, let's face it, when you look around the world around us, we got it pretty cushy here in America, don't we? When we look around our broken world, we've got it pretty cushy. I mean, we live, even on our worst day, far above the poverty level. I mean, we don't face persecution. I mean, we have it pretty easy. We went to Haiti 2 weeks ago. Two comments stuck out to our team. Two different Haitians that we talked to. One said this, "I went to America, got off the plane, got in the car, and we started driving north from Miami, and I had to call my wife and tell her this, even the roads are nicer than our house." I mean, that's somebody that just doesn't have much. And another Haitian we talked to said, "I went to America, came home, and I told my friends I can now die and go to heaven because I have seen paradise." I mean, we have it cushy. We have it well. Let's be honest with each other as well. Sometimes we think about heaven, we think heaven's boring. We think heaven's going to be boring. We're just going to be sitting around forever, just sitting on clouds, playing the harp, standing around, just one giant sing-along forever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, you say, you know, what if heaven's going to be like that? I mean, I'd rather spend a weekend in Stark than forever in heaven, you know? I mean, you've been to Stark, haven't you? I brought some friends with me here today. Introduce them to you. They're little guys. This is Jaws 1, Jaws 2. Jaws 3 and Jaws 4 here. Good, they're all still alive. You know, Walmart gives a 3-day, no questions asked, money back guarantee. And I've been praying all weekend that these guys are going to make it through the last service. So I'm glad they're still with us today. Now, these guys have life pretty good here in the bowl, don't they? I mean, everything is taken care of for them. You know, all you can do is kind of feed them. They swim around their bowl and have a pretty good life. But have you ever thought about what the fish are thinking about? Have you ever wondered what they're looking at inside the bowl? You wonder if they thought, you know, what's on the other side of this glass? I mean, what's outside of the bowl? I mean, imagine if I put a picture like this up on the screen, all right, and I showed them this picture. Would that change their contentment in the bowl? Probably, because you showed them that picture and they look at that and it'd be like cruel and unusual punishment to show them a picture like that and say, "Hey guys, look what you're missing out on, you know? Little goldfish are going around, swimming around, singing Born to be Wild, and here they are stuck in their bowl, you know? So I look at Jaws 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and I think, you know what? They weren't created for life in the bowl. They weren't created for life inside of this glass. And here's the truth. You weren't created for life inside of this bowl. You were created for something more than this life. Something outside of this glass. Something that we can look to with anticipation and excitement. You know, Jesus says the devil is a liar. That he is the father of lies. That his native tongue, his language, is a language of lies. And I think some of the greatest lies that we have been told have been lies about heaven. I love how Randy Alcorn, in his incredible book about heaven, how he states this. Listen to what he says. He says, Satan need not convince us that heaven doesn't exist. He need only convince us that heaven is a place of boring, unearthly existence. If we believe that lie, we will be robbed of our joy and anticipation. We'll set our minds on this life and not the next. A couple years back, my mother-in-law called up and told Ann and I that she wanted to take us to Hawaii. And I don't know about you, but man, that was pretty exciting. You know, an all-expense-paid trip to Hawaii. I mean, we couldn't afford it. There's no way we can go. But when we got the news, we were super excited. So we went to the library, we checked out all these books on Hawaii, went to Barnes & Noble and got the travel books. I mean, we're looking at all these pictures. I watched the first four seasons of Magnum P.I. I mean, I was ready. I mean, we looked at all these pictures, we put our itinerary together. We're going to go here, we're going to go to Diamond Head and North Shore and go to Pearl Harbor. And we saw all these incredible pictures and we couldn't wait. But I'll tell you this, those pictures didn't hold a candle to seeing it with my own eyes. It was beautiful. It was amazing. Listen to what Paul says about this. Here's what he says. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And I think we read that verse and we've probably heard that verse before and we've seen that verse for many, many years and we say, you know what? There is no way, that verse says, that we can ever know what heaven is like. We'll never know. I mean, it says we can never get a glimpse and never get a taste, never get a picture of what heaven is like. But Paul's not done, is he? The verse goes on, and listen to what he says. He continues, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. He has revealed it to us by his Spirit. And see, I believe what he's saying is this, that God works through descriptions in his word and through the Holy Spirit to illuminate for us a little bit of what heaven is like, to give us a glimpse of heaven. Is it exhaustive? No. But is it accurate? You bet. You bet. And here's been my prayer for you this week, because I know a lot of us don't really talk about heaven, don't look forward to heaven with a lot of anticipation. And my prayer for you has simply been this, that God the Spirit today, some way, some form, somehow, would reveal to you just a little glimpse of heaven so that you would begin to look forward to it with a great amount of anticipation. So let's ask the question, what is heaven like? I mean, what does the Bible say heaven is like? Well, the first thing the Bible says is this, that heaven is a place of love and relationships. Heaven is a place of love and relationships. Heaven is a place of community. Heaven is a place of closeness. Heaven is a place of connection. Do you remember what Jesus said to the criminal on the cross? Listen to these words. He said, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. I mean, do you hear the closeness there? Do you hear the connection there? You will be with me in paradise. I mean, I think one of the most attractive things about heaven is who is going to be there. It's who's going to be there. I mean, a lot of people wonder, are we going to recognize people in heaven? Absolutely. We're going to recognize people. We're going to know other people are. I mean, we look at the story in Matthew chapter 17 about the transfiguration. All of a sudden, here's Jesus and the disciples and Moses and Elijah show up. And the disciples have no clue who these guys are. I mean, they didn't follow them on Facebook. You know, they didn't have a DVD of the Ten Commandments. They didn't know who these guys were. They died hundreds of years before the disciples showed up on the scene. Yet, the Bible says they knew exactly who they were. We're going to know. We're going to know people. And I think this is one of the most exciting things about heaven. I mean, heaven's going to be a place of just great reunions. mean, we're going to be reconnected with people that we miss and that we love and we can't wait to see. I mean, just recently I was at a funeral of a friend who lost a father. And he was talking about how much his dad meant to him and how much he cared about him. And he said the same thing that I hear almost every funeral. I cannot wait to see them again in heaven. I mean, that is some of the greatest hope we have when we lose someone that we love, that there's going to be this great reunion one day in heaven. Reminds me of the story of the guy who died and went to heaven. His wife had died a few years before, and he showed up at the gates, and there was his wife, and she was waiting to meet him. And she ran up and gave him a big hug, and they talked about what was going on. She said, "Let me show you around heaven." And so she began to walk him around heaven and show him all the incredible things and all of the amazing sights. And he walked around, his eyes were this big around, his mouth was dropped open all day. And they finished the tour, and she said, "See, isn't this place absolutely incredible?" He said, "Yeah. And if you wouldn't have made me eat all that oat bran, I would have been here a lot sooner, you know?" See, here's the truth of the matter. Thanks, Drew, for laughing. The truth of the matter is this. Many of us on earth had some relational difficulties. I mean, maybe you grew up in a house where you should have had unconditional love, but you just received heartache. Maybe you've been through bad relationship after bad relationship after bad relationship. None of them are working out. And for reasons you don't know, you've never experienced joy. You never experienced love. You've never experienced friendship. You've never experienced closeness and connection and community. Let me assure you of this. When you get to heaven, it's going to open a whole new relational world for you. And it's going to be an incredible place. Listen to what John said in the book of Revelation. He says this, "I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb." Isn't that great? No one could count that many people there. It is going to be a place of love and relationships and connection and closeness and community. It's going to be great. And let me just go ahead and settle this one right here as we get going. A lot of people ask me, "Jason, are there going to be animals in heaven?" I mean, they want to know about Fido. And, you know, is Fido going to be there? So let me just settle this right here, right now, and make it easy. You ready? Dogs, yes. Cats, no. All right? I'm kidding. If you cat, don't send me emails. I guess they're going to be there too, you know? But, you know, in Revelation chapter 6 and 9, it talks about horses being in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 11, it talks about a lamb, it talks about a lion, it talks about wolves. So yes, I believe there are probably going to be animals in heaven. There may be even new species that we've never seen before. So heaven is going to be a place of love and relationships. And heaven's also going to be a place of intellectual growth and discovery. It's going to be a place of discovery, intellectual growth. I mean, some people say, "You know what, when I get to heaven, I think I'm going to know absolutely everything. There's not going to be a single question that's going to be unanswered." Really? Because that would be God, right? Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms." So here's what I want you to do. Picture yourself sitting with Christ in the heavenly realms. And what are you doing? You're there in order of that. What are you going to do in the coming ages? Here's what it says. "He might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." See the key word there? Show. Show. What that word means, what that word implies, that there's just going to be this ongoing discovery process going on. I mean, we're going to be learning things. I mean, it's exciting to me to think that we're going to be learning more and more and more. Our intellect is going to be keen. We're going to be sharp. We're going to be intellectually stretched. The heaven is going to be a place of discovery and growth where we're going to learn. And I think there's so many questions that we want to ask. I mean, I think we get to heaven, there are unanswered questions that we had no answers to here on earth. I mean, think about being able to ask God. Say, "God, why did this have to happen in my life for your plan to unfold?" I mean, think about sitting down and talking to Michael, the archangel Michael, and having him tell you stories about spiritual battles that he went on for you and you didn't even know it happened. I mean, think about angels coming up to you and say, "Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but you entertained me and you didn't even know it." I mean, I think it's going to be a place where we're going to learn so much, be able to ask so many questions. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't wait to go fishing with Peter. I mean, what a fun day that will be. I mean, just to hang out with Pete and say, hey, man, tell me about walking on water. I mean, I can't wait to go and spend a day with Daniel and say, man, what did it feel like to be in that pit? I mean, go talk to David and say, dude, tell me about Goliath. Or talk to Adam. I mean, how cool would it be to sit down and talk to Adam and say, dude, I know you couldn't have wrote in the Bible. I know the words are probably too explicit, but what did you really say when you saw Eve for the first time, man? What'd you say? I mean, how cool would it be to get leadership lessons from Moses? I mean, how cool would it be to get courage lessons from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? I mean, how cool would it be to get voice lessons from Elvis? Yeah, I think he might be there, all right. You know, or sit down and ask God, God, why did it take so long to beat Satan? Or God, tell me about 9/11 through your eyes. I mean, I think heaven's going to be a place where we're going to be learning and growing and discovering. It's going to be a place where our intellect is going to be keen and sharp. So it's going to be a place of discovery and growth. I also think that heaven is going to be this. Heaven's going to be a place of rewards. Heaven is going to be a place of great rewards. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. So no man can boast. So if our belief in Jesus Christ determines our eternal destination, then it's our behavior while we're here on earth that determines our reward in eternity. It's our behavior here that determines our reward. Listen to what it says in Matthew. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. He's going to reward each person according to what he has done. I love how Bob Russell describes this. He says this, every sports team has a banquet at the end of the season. They get together to recognize and award the most valuable players. I think God is going to reward the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul in some incredible ways. I mean for their courage, for their dedication, for their commitment, for their teaching. And I think he's going to reward those guys a lot more than any pastor here in America who really has it pretty easy. I mean, I think he's going to reward the husband who tenderly and gently takes care of his wife for 10 years as she is dying of Alzheimer's. I think he's going to reward that husband more than the husband whose wife lives a long life and he never really appreciates her. I mean, I think God is going to reward that person who gives just so generously, gives just sacrificially, 10, 20, 30% more than they ever could or should, but gives it. I think he's going to reward that person more than the person who just gives out of their leftovers. There are going to be rewards in heaven. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3. Fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So what are we building? What is the real treasure? It says that some of the stuff is going to be burned up and gone. We're going to be rewarded one day in heaven. So heaven is a place of love and relationships. Heaven is a place of growth and discovery. Heaven is a place of reward. And fourth, I believe heaven is a place of fascinating worlds to explore. Heaven is a place of fascinating worlds to explore. Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. He says there are many rooms, there are many mansions. You know, the universe is a big, big place. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want to travel a little bit. I mean, I want to get around in it, you know? I want to see what's going on. I mean, it's the height of arrogance for us to think that the only place that God is active, the only place that God is working, is on this little rock, this third rock from the sun called Earth. I mean, scientists say that the universe is expanding day after day after day, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and infinity, eternity, it's a long time. I want to get around in it. I want to see things. I mean, think of Niagara Falls, the Rocky Mountains, the Grand Canyon, the Great Barrier Reef. I mean, that's just a starter. I mean, think of what we're going to see and what we're going to experience in heaven. It's so much greater than we have here. It's going to be incredible. The Bible says there's going to be light and trees and fruit and animals. It's going to be an incredible place for these fascinating worlds to explore. I also believe that heaven is a place of productivity. That heaven is a place of productivity, that we're going to be busy in heaven. We're going to have jobs in heaven. Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 22 point out that our job when we get to heaven is to serve God. Our job in heaven is to serve God. We are going to be busy. 1 Corinthians 6:3 says this, "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" Do you not know that we will judge angels? Notice that. I mean, a lot of people think they get to heaven, you're going to check in at their front door, they'll give you your wings and your harp, and you're going to become an angel. But that's not how it happens. We actually will govern the angels. We'll be making decisions. Heaven is a place of productivity. It's not a place where you just sit around and rest. I know the Bible says heaven's going to be a place of rest, but I don't want to burst your bubble, but you're not going to sit on the front porch in a rocking chair drinking sweet tea for now to eternity, all right? That's not what it is. It's going to be a place of productivity, a place of work. And maybe here on earth, maybe you've had some bad experiences with work. Maybe you don't like work very often because maybe you've never been connected in your job and where you feel fulfilled, where you feel like you're doing what God has built you to do, that your hardwiring is matched up with your job you have. Man, when we get to heaven, we're going to have some incredible tasks in front of us that are going to be fulfilling and rewarding. And heaven is going to be different. There are going to be different jobs. I mean, heaven, the Bible says, is different. It says in the Bible, there's no death in heaven. So if you're a funeral director, you're going to need another job in heaven, all right? That's just the way it is. I mean, the Bible says there's no decay. So there are going to be no dentist in heaven, all right? I mean, dentists will be there. Just, you know, they'll have a different job, you know? They'll be working on the road crew with the jackhammer crew, you know? But we have a great job, an incredible job in heaven. And that job will be serving our Lord and Savior every day for eternity. How incredible will that be? It's going to be amazing. And I think heaven is also this. I think heaven's also a place of joy and laughter. Heaven is a place, it's going to be a place of joy and laughter. And let me just say this. Hell is not. Hell is not a place of joy and laughter. You know how Jesus describes hell? It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, just eternal regret after regret after regret. I mean, it's not a place where you're going to party with your friends and yuck it up with the devil like it's a big frat party. That's not what hell is like. It's utter isolation. It's loneliness. It's agony. It's eternal fire. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like to talk about hell. I don't like to teach about hell. I don't like fire and brimstone preachers. It makes me uncomfortable. But here's the reality. Jesus taught about hell a lot more than he taught about heaven. Why? Because that's love. That's love. There is a hell to be avoided and a heaven to be gained. And I don't want a single person to miss out on heaven. I don't want a single person to be isolated for all eternity from their God and their Father. I want every single person to make a decision on this side of eternity where they're going to spend the rest of their eternity. I mean, hell is not a party place. Hell is not a fun place. Hell is not an exciting place, a joy-filled place. It's eternal separation. It's eternal darkness. It's eternal loneliness. Here's how C.S. Lewis described hell. He said, "Hell is nothing more but yourself for all eternity. Hell is nothing but yourself for all eternity." Jesus said, "Hell is a fire that can't be quenched." But let me tell you this. Heaven, on the other hand, is an incredible place. It's a place of great joy and great excitement. It is an amazing place because if the one who created the universe, if the one who slung the stars in place, the one who carved the mountains with his very hands, if the one who made animals, the hippopotamus, the giraffe, the platypus, if he is there, it's going to be an amazing place. And he's prepared it for us. He's making it for us. Everything good that we experience here on earth is going to be perfect in heaven. Perfect. It's going to be amazing, and he's going to be there with us, and everything good that we experience is going to be so great there. I love the story of that Billy Graham talks about hell, heaven and hell with his wife. And he asks his wife, Ruth, he says, "Ruth, do you think there's going to be golf in heaven?" And I think that's a question a lot of you in here might be asking today. I wonder if there's going to be golf in heaven. Well, listen to her answer. She said this, "If that's what it takes to make you happy, then yes, there'll be golf in heaven." Heaven is going to be an incredible place. And listen to what Jesus said. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this. Master replies to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's," and notice this word, "happiness." Happiness. The Bible says a cheerful heart, it's good medicine. It's good medicine. Heaven is going to be a place of joy and laughter. And I think heaven is going to be full of guys like Chet Fitch. You ever hear of Chet Fitch? Let me tell you Chet Fitch's story. Chet Fitch lived in Oregon almost his entire life. He died on an October day when he was 88 years old. 88. 3 months later, right before Christmas, all right, 34 people received a handwritten card from Chet Fitch. And listen to what the card said. It said this: I asked the big guy if I could sneak back and send some cards. At first, he told me no. But at my insistence, he finally said, okay, what the heaven. Wish I could have told you about things here, but words cannot explain it. And this is how he signed off. He said, I'll probably be seeing you some sooner than you think. Wishing you a Merry Christmas, Chet Fitch. Now you're probably wondering, what is that all about? Let me tell you, Chet Fitch was one of these bigger-than-life guys. He loved to laugh. He was a practical joker. So what he did is he set up with his barber that after he died, the very first Christmas, that the barber would send 34 handwritten notes to his closest friends and family so that he would have the last laugh. I mean, I think heaven is going to be full of all kinds of those Chet Fitch moments. Well, we're just going to laugh and have an incredible time because that's what heaven is like. Heaven is a place of love and relationships. Heaven is a place of intellectual growth. Heaven is a place of rewards. I mean, heaven is a place of fascinating worlds to explore. I mean, heaven is just an incredible place of productivity, and heaven is a place of joy and laughter. And I think when the writers of the Bible, when they ran out of words to describe what heaven is like, what they then did is they reverted to telling people what heaven is not like. And listen to what John, who, by the way, got an incredible glimpse of heaven in the book of Revelation. Listen to what he writes about heaven. Revelation chapter 21 says this: God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more. Notice what he says here. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I mean, what's heaven like? No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And some of you right here, right now, sitting here today, you woke up this morning and your body hurt. I mean, you live every single day of your life in pain. In pain. Let me tell you this. Heaven will be pain-free. Heaven's going to be Advil-free, arthritis-free. You're going to have a new body, and that body's going to be perfect. I mean, there'll be no more dentures, no more counting fat grams and calories. Hallelujah, praise Jesus on that one. I mean, there's going to be no more drinking, and sure. I mean, children who are born with a mental or physical disability that limits them here on earth and heaven, they are going to be made whole and complete, and I cannot wait for them. I mean, those of you who have a friend or family member who's confined to a wheelchair, who cannot use their legs, and they get to heaven, they'll have new legs and they can run and jump and have a good time. And those of you who've got nightmares and bad memories and things you like to forget, things that have hurt you in your life, when you get to heaven, they'll all be erased. It'll all be gone. It's going to be an incredible place. There'll be no more anxious waiting rooms. No more children with bloated stomachs. No more tear-stained divorce papers. No more motionless sonograms. No more tiny caskets. I mean, when we get to heaven, did you see what the scripture said? Who's going to wipe away our tears? I mean, the very hands that created the earth, the very hands that carved the mountains, the very hands, the little hands that reached up out of the manger towards his mother, the very nail-pierced hands that died on the cross for you will wipe away your tears. It's going to be amazing. But here's the truth, and we've got to get grips with this. There will one day be our last day on earth. We are not going to live on this planet in this bowl forever. There's something more for us, something more on the other side of the glass waiting for us. We were created for something more, something greater. And what is it? It's heaven. And if we are a follower of Christ, that's what is guaranteed. But one day we are all going to die. It's like the lady who said, you know what? I'm 100 years old. I'm ready to die because my friends might be thinking I'm not going to be making it there to heaven. All right? I mean, we are going to die. We may not live past 20. We may live to 100. But we all are going to die. But here's the truth. If we are a follower of Jesus Christ, we have a guarantee for us that is amazing, is incredible, and it's called heaven. And that's why we were made. We weren't made for this. We were made for real life. And real life happens in heaven. In heaven. Revelation says that it's like a wedding of the Lamb. And as a pastor, I get to do a lot of weddings. And one of my favorite parts of every single wedding is the part where the groomsmen walk down, they line up over here, and the bridesmaids walk down, they line up over there, and here's the groom here, and the music starts, and people stand up, and the doors open, and the bride begins to walk in. And man, she has worked hard. She has spent a day or two preparing for this moment. I mean, she's been to the beauty parlor and had her hair done, you know? She's had a manicure, and she's been in a tanning bed, and she's been spray painted by the makeup artist, and here she is now coming down the aisle, and all the eyes are on her, and I look over to the groom. I'll do this about every wedding. I say, hey, what do you think? And they say things like, wow, she is gorgeous. She is beautiful. She is great, but where's my fiance? No, I'm kidding. They don't say that. Jesus said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. I've gone to prepare a place for you. When did Jesus say that? 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine what it's going to look like? He's been working on it for you, preparing for you for 2,000 years. It's going to be incredible. And I cannot wait to be there because when we get to heaven, guess what? We are going to be home. And I love being home. There's not a door I'd rather walk through than the door of my house. There's not a couch I'd rather sit on than the couch in my house. Not a bed I'd rather sleep on than my own bed. There's not a table I'd rather sit at than my own table with my family. And one day when we get to heaven, we'll be home. We'll be home. And I can't wait to see my grandpa. I can't wait to see a few of my friends just left too soon. But I'll be home. We were made for something more than life here. We were made for life forever with our Father in heaven. Listen to how John says this in Revelation. He says these words, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." What a day it's going to be. What a day it's going to be when I get to look eyeball to eyeball, face to face with my leader, with my forgiver, with my Savior, and just simply say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then hear him say to me, Jason, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. What a day it's going to be. We were made for something so much more than life on this rock. We were made for real life, eternity, and heaven. It is going to be fascinating. It is going to be amazing. It is going to be thrilling. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait. Would you stand with me? Would you pray with me before we move into a time of worship? God, we right now, we come before you. And we humbly just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for the life that you have given us. Because God, really, life here on this rock right now isn't so bad. But God, I'm so grateful for your word. I'm so grateful for this day, God, where you gave us a little glimpse of what heaven can be like. And God, I pray that we will live every single day of our lives in anticipation for how wonderful, how amazing heaven is going to be. And God, why is it amazing? I mean, there are a lot of benefits. But God, ultimately, no longer will we ever be separated from you, that we will be in your presence and we'll be able to cry out with our voices, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father, we love you. Father, we can't wait to stand in your presence and worship you every day of our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.